You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, July 29th. The Warrenton City Commission is eyeing a potential fire department operations levy to stave off what one commissioner has described as a crisis. At a recent meeting, Warrenton Fire Chief Brian Alsbury described a department that relies too heavily on volunteers, at the risk of burning them out. He says the department needs funding for 9 new staffers in order to meet the needs of the community. City Manager Esther Moberg says the city would be looking to bring in $350,000 to $450,000 in revenue if a levy were approved by voters. Mayor Henry Ballenciefer said he would be supportive of a levy so long as the fire department clearly outlines where and how funds will be spent, and so long as the timing is right. The City Commission also considered a potential water meter fee structure to provide additional revenue for the fire department. Ballenciefer plans to schedule a public town hall to gather community input on how to fund the fire department. In the meantime, the city will look to move forward with a water meter fee structure. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. City leaders plan to take another look at Astoria's ordinances that dictate how, when, and where people can camp downtown. In a work session Monday, the Astoria City Council spoke with Bo Peterson, the presiding judge of the Clatsop County Circuit Court, and Clatsop County Sheriff Matt Phillips about challenges with arresting and prosecuting people charged with certain lower-level crimes, like the ones listed under an ordinance the City Council considered last month. That ordinance would have excluded people from the downtown area for up to 90 days if they committed those crimes. Proponents of that ordinance, including Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick and Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly, argued that exclusion zones would have provided police with a useful tool to address bad behaviors downtown. The ordinance failed in a 3-2 vote at the end of June, but city leaders say they still want to look at ways to address certain problems downtown, in particular a growing encampment near county office buildings on Duane Street. City Manager Scott Spence told councilors that city staff are fielding daily complaints about the encampments, but the city's primary recourse is to issue fines, which do not deter people. City Councilor Andrea Mazzarella said she was also interested in revisiting Astoria's camping ordinance, but that she wanted to look at giving people ways to comply with city laws as well. One suggestion she and other city councilors mentioned is a daytime drop-in center. City Councilor Andy Davis says he also wants to hear from partner organizations that provide resources and social services as the city reconsiders the camping ordinance. The city plans to hold a work session in the near future. The recently passed federal budget bill could hurt some preventative medical care providers. As Jefferson Public Radio's Emma J. Nelson reports, Planned Parenthood Southwestern Oregon says Medicaid currently provides about 60% of its funding.
Planned Parenthood offers STI testing, prenatal care, vaccinations, and other services. Planned Parenthood Southwestern Oregon CEO Amy Handler says abortions only make up 5% of the care provided.
To target Planned Parenthood because of one service is, you know, unfair, unjust. It puts lives at risk because of all the critical preventative care that we provide.
Southwestern Oregon has 4 Planned Parenthood health centers. Handler says it could be months, not years, before the cuts would force them to close their doors. I'm Emma J. Nelson reporting.
Oregon is putting the brakes on a set of proposed farm stand changes following public outcry. Alejandro Figueroa has the story.
The changes were meant to clarify what types of activities farmers could do on their land. Things like farm-to-table dinners, musical festivals, or corn maces. That's because county planners and farmers say the current policy is unclear and vague. Earlier this month, the Department of Land Conservation and Development published a set of proposed rules. Farm conservation groups say the goal is to preserve farmland's primary function, to grow crops and livestock. But some farmers said the newly released changes did the opposite of helping, and they took to social media to voice their frustration. The governor's office told OPB it received over 2,000 emails and calls from people. Now, Oregon regulators are pausing the rulemaking to, quote, reassess. Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
There's a new webpage where documents from the investigation into the deaths of four University of Idaho students can be downloaded. This was after the killer was sentenced last week. NWPB's Lauren Patterson has the latest.
New documents have been released in the case of four students who were stabbed to death in November 2022. After Brian Koberger pleaded guilty to killing Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Zana Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, he was sentenced to four consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole. The Moscow Police Department created a page on the city's website to house documents related to the case because of the intense public interest. News of the killings garnered international attention, and the small police department expected a surge of public records requests. The webpage provides a transparent and easy way for public access. Hundreds of pages of redacted records reveal the sea of tips and information investigators navigated even after Koberger's arrest, and more could be coming. I'm Lauren Patterson, reporting.
Senator Patty Murray says electricity bills in Washington state will go up because of the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill, which cut federal spending on renewable energy projects. Reporter Joshua McNichols looked into that claim.
Dawn Lindell runs Seattle City Light. She says Seattle needs new sources of power, and when federal spending for power projects goes down, electricity bills in Seattle will go up.
We've had grant funding cut at the federal level. We've had tax credits cut at the federal level, and those offset the price to build. So it is a direct impact on the cost of that energy.
Because you have to build that to meet growing capacity, and now it's going to cost you much more.
That is exactly right. So I think people can expect to see significant rate increases for probably the next 10 to 12 years.
The U.S. Department of Energy did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Joshua McNichols reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, sunny with a high near 69. Increasing clouds tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the high 60s. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds, lows in the mid-50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org/news. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.